Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
If you want to be my friend, you had better go and get a pen.
Get a pen.
And maybe we can keep in touch.
Keep in touch.
Like I did in the old days, it wasn't so long ago. Oh, 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 oh. I wish you well. Oh, 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 oh.
Sign your pen.
Sign your pen pals, folks. That's going to be signed by your pen pals. That's Daniel Van Kirk, mm-hmm. Rory Maury Scorry, and mm-hmm. we said, if you want to be our friend, go get a pen. As you know, if you've heard this show before, that is not true. You just have to get a keyboard, and you have to type an email to thepenpalspod@gmail.com, and we will be more than happy to read that letter mm-hmm. and publicly announce everything that you wrote to us, and we will reply to it as the episode. It's not our podcast. We just talk about it. It's yours.
I love that.
Let's go to Daniel Van Kirk, who's on the field.
Hey, how are you? I'm Daniel Van Kirk. I'm on here in the field.
That's it, though.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the field for a sporting event, but it's all one word responses. Like, now, did he give any report on his injury?
Yep.
And did he say sort of like what that injury was or how long he may be out? Is it going to be the whole game? Is it the season? Is it just this quarter?
Of course.
Okay, thank you, Daniel. Shittiest on-field report.
The worst.
He did. He did give me a report. He doesn't understand how to fill it in.
Roar.
Boar. E. Alice. Go ahead.
We got some pencil buds out there. Did you notice that going through the letters?
Look, we're not going to sit here and act like we didn't know that was going to catch fire. The moment you mm-hmm. taste fire, you know it. You know right. what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've always said that. The moment you taste fire, you know that you've tasted right. fire.
Some people might say, hey, guys, you just dropped an I'll go F2FRNRG t-shirt, or you just dropped a Palerino shirt. Good time to keep plugging those yeah. Lexicon usage or whatever it is of the show. But we'll drop a merch and move on to what should have already been the next merch.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go yeah. to DanielVanKirk.com and get those things right now, and you should if you're a real penny or a paler. But we're already on to pencil buds.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead and get the merch.
Of course.
That's gonna be throwback. It's already throwback.
Right.
Because now we are going in the direction of pencil buds. Daniel and I can't be tied to one theme.
Mm-mm. It's too hard.
We can't
hard
be tied
us.
to one image.
In all seriousness, I do want to remind everybody to go there and get their stuff. It's a great way to support the show and look cool. And when we do get to go back out on the road,
which is I mean, we're becoming at least, more and more of a reality.
Don't you think we're at least going to do one live show before the end of the year?
I would say it is a certainty.
Okay.
I would say, God, you remember when Tig did that house tour?
Uh-huh.
and just did how just people's living
Maria's
rooms.
Maria's done living rooms too.
They're allowed to just invite people over. I want to say it is a certainty we will do a live show before this year is over. It's
Can't
just
wait.
Because the tide is turning so rapidly, I feel like.
Yeah.
That you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean let your guard down yet. It doesn't mean don't still be safe. It doesn't mean ditch the mask.
Right.
Let's say you've been vaccinated. Stay the course.
Right.
Stay the course.
Right.
Read the data. See what is safe to do based on scientific information.
Mm-hmm.
And then make your best judgment.
Exactly.
But stay the course. Don't just go, we're back. We're not, because everyone's not vaccinated.
We're getting back.
But a lot more people are getting vaccinated. There was like 2 weeks ago, or maybe a week ago, they had 4 million people in one day.
I thought last week we had 8.
Oh, 8 million in a day?
I think so, yeah.
Oh my God. I haven't even seen that. That is,
I could be wrong.
Crazy maybe it was good. That seems like a lot. 4 million was like 8 million in 2 days. So 4 million a day.
Yep.
No.
Yeah, both of us.
Yeah. 8 million in 2 days.
Hey.
How great is that?
Can I ask you about a thing before we go?
No,
we go?
No, I'm kind of locking up the questions now.
Oh. All right, let's go to our man in the field. You got a dog.
The Scoville family has expanded.
How old is that dog? 4?
That dog is 2 years old.
2, okay.
His name is Charlie Dots.
He just looks like
he
this,
is.
When I talk about animals, this is how I say it with love. He just looks like such a fucking dork.
Just a floppy-eared
dork.
Goof.
I love
miniature
it.
Poodle. He already gets it. Like, he gets it.
Well, wouldn't you?
I'm already, dude, I'm
you got to go into
brand
this
new
house
to the house.
Of love?
I'm already like no leash out the front door to get the mail, and he's just with me and comes. I was like, come on, get back in the house. He's like, back in the house. He's just chill. He's barked once at somebody who came up on the porch. Like, he's already a great guard dog.
Like that.
But he doesn't like, he's just so chill. He's amazing. He's very smart.
Him?
He's already just, he's a perfect size. Our friend, Mary Kate Gallivan.
Mm-hmm.
She trains a lot of, she's plugged in with many rescues, but she trains a lot of dogs for TV and film, animal trainer. And so I've known her because we went to the same elementary, middle school, and high school.
Wow.
So I've known her for a long time.
You both ended up out here.
What's that?
And you both ended up out here.
Chasing that Hollywood star, you know what I mean?
You're going to get it, dude.
One day I'm going to find it, just like Mario did in Mario 64.
As you are.
Go back and play Mario 64. Tell me it's not still. It's just a fun time.
Super fun.
When was the last time you played GoldenEye?
That's the next thing I was going to ask you out in the field.
Of course. It's the natural. It's a natural next question.
I still have mine.
Remote mines. I go remote mines in the complex.
Really?
And I'm the gray guy because he kind of blends into the remote, to the complex walls. And let me just tell you, dude, that game, bring that. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring that over.
Yeah.
And after Hoosiers,
I'm pretty sure your neighbor
fucking
has
hook
it.
That up. And we're just going to play it.
Don't you think your neighbor has it?
He doesn't have it.
Bullshit.
You talking about Scotty Boy?
Yes.
Scotty Mix-a-Lot Moran?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have it.
I got
it. I don't know that he has the console.
I have the console and four
In my
controllers.
Opinion, the greatest controllers ever. That was after that, I stopped being a gamer because it became too many buttons, too many. Double toggle is not for me. I'm not a double toggle guy.
Did you ever get into Super Smash Brothers?
No.
Oh, I
tried.
I got
my friend Matt Mayer. That was his jam.
That's still a big one. I mean, there's like, that's big competitions like for money. Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like it.
But GoldenEye, one shot, one kill, headshots only, no slappers.
Love it. Love it. No slappers.
No odd job. Nobody can be
odd job. You can't be odd job. Mm-mm. Get out of here. Mm-mm. You want to be odd job? I'll still win.
What about in the temple? Grenade launchers only. I've done that a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved that game.
Wasn't that game great?
Yes.
Also, just playing that game. Playing that game, not multiplayer. Just playing that game is fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Starting up in the vent and you're like, what is this? And that's how the game starts. And you're just like, oh my God, it's POV. I'm on an adventure. I don't even know where I am.
Oh. All right, you ready?
I feel like I was saying something about the dog, but I don't even remember.
Well, you were just saying how great he is. You have a friend. You guys have known each other forever. You've kept in contact with her. She trains these dogs, and then what? How did you? She said, "I got this dog."
Oh yeah. So she knew this rescue, and you know, people post or they inform others, and you know, you got to get the word out. And we've tried to rescue a dog here in LA, and it is so hard to do. We even had a rescue organization in LA do a background check on us that got confirmed great by a friend of ours who they reached out to, and they still didn't. I don't know if just people wanted dogs. I don't know what the deal is. I'll tell you what, they asked for a lot of donations, and you're like, great, I want to donate money and I want to donate my services.
Right.
And they're like, we just want your money. Yeah. And you're like, you are doing a good thing, but,
right.
But you know what? Everybody wants a dog right now, so I get it. But we went to Bakersfield, almost 2 hours away to get this little guy. And I'll tell you what, a 4-hour drive total, well worth it for a dog that is like almost completely just trained. He just is awesome.
And Elliot loves it.
He is so far, he has shit at the exact same time every day.
Really?
And he just goes and does it.
What is he?
And we're like,
oh,
this is great. Let's just see.
My favorite thing
is, when he pees, he just pees a ton. He's like, I'll just go the one time.
We don't need to keep doing this. What do you want?
He hasn't even marked the yard. He hasn't even gone around like marking the yard.
He's just happy to be there, dude.
He's a little skittish on walks. He doesn't even like to do it. I'm like, oh, this is my son. This is my son. Let's just stay home.
Well, you sent me that video, and just watching Elliot just mesmerized by this dog was worth it all to me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's her friend,
and also
right?
It's teaching her some responsibility. You
for
know?
Sure.
We're having her like feed him and walk him, and you know, she's learning about it. You know, you gain a lot of confidence learning how to communicate with an animal. You gain perspective when you realize that, when you come to realize, like, it's so hard for us to understand. You can't just talk to dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? You're like, you understand, but you also know the dog doesn't. But you know, you're like, ah, oh, so how do I communicate?
Right.
I think teaching a kid early on how to communicate, use your brain to communicate in a different path is a big deal.
Well, I love it. So, I'm so glad you got a dog. I think it's great.
All right, shall we, sir?
Yeah, dude. Ready?
Born ready.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
And let's go to the letters.
Yes.
Dear.
Are we supposed to count? We would count to three, then go, right? Count to three, and let's go into the letters. But there's no time to count to three.
Hold your breath. Count to three.
And then let's go to the letters. Or we're going to the letters, so while we're doing that.
You know, dealer's choice for the listener. Okay. I feel like we ask a lot of our listeners. We ask them to participate. Granted, it's their podcast, so they should have to.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, dealer's choice.
Okay. All right, ready?
I want an old-fashioned so bad. Go ahead. Here we go.
Oh, you're still on that? And I don't say that in any sort of rude way. A genuine.
No, I know. And I am.
Okay. Sup, my good old pencil buds. I moved away from Texas back in August 2020 to a land too far away.
Oklahoma. We're like, well, that's not that far.
Right. Louisiana. Okay. Because of that, I had to leave behind my wicked sweet 1982 Ford F-150 Addie Lou. She's a bit older, but still sweet as apple pie with a melted cheese slice on top. Question one. We just get to it. Are there any old classic cars or trucks that you love or would consider buying one day for fun? Question two. Can you think of anything you had to leave behind because you moved somewhere that you dearly miss?
Oh, great question.
Your PB, pencil bud, CW, PS. I have attached some photos of sweet Addie Lou for you to admire the beauty. Also, there is an also, but there is, it is inferred. Add big cheeseburgers and good French fries by Blaze Foley to the playlist.
Interesting. I don't know who that is.
Never heard it in my life.
I don't even know who runs the playlist.
That
so I'm way in the dark.
I don't even know if we officially know where the playlist is and which one among many that seem to be similarly titled is ours.
I know what you mean. And I want to say for some reason, this is Shanley's fault. I want to say that. I'm not going to.
Same thing. I'm not either.
But I want to.
Right.
Obviously, we love Shanley. If anyone feels the need to get Shanley's back, just know we love him to death.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag pencil buds.
But he is to blame for a lot of our shortcomings. Okay, so here we go. First off, this truck, I just looked it up, is a badass. That is a badass truck.
Have you ever
truck.
Owned a truck?
No. But I have answers to this question that are exciting.
Ooh.
And topical. Jordan, the Queen Scoville,
yeah,
just turned 40,
uh-huh,
and she has always wanted an old truck, and I'm talking like Chevy from the 50s.
Ooh, a little slope side. You know what side?
I mean? Bulbous, the very bulbous, rounded,
mm-hmm,
sides. Yeah. Like, you pick up the truck bed is not actually even that big.
Right.
Really, it makes you think of like, that's how they transported apples. Like, that's what you're picturing with wooded slats.
Yeah, and there's hay in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has wanted that for a long time. And for a long time in my mind, it was my goal to try to get her that for her 40th as an absolute surprise. And I tried this year to just, in a pandemic, go, can this be pulled off? I found a beautiful Chevrolet from the 1950s, sight unseen outside of pictures.
Right.
And a report that it is in amazingly excellent condition. And if it is like the pictures, it almost looks like it's just been constantly bathed since its birth.
Yeah.
Kept out of the sun. But my goal was to buy it,
yeah,
and then convert it to an electric car. You can do like a Tesla outfitting where they'll put the system in.
Sure.
And I was going to do all of that. And blow her mind. And I think in a non-pandemic world, I could have maybe pulled it off. And I'd like to note, not as expensive as all of this sounds.
Sure.
In fact, everything I'm saying would have been less than buying a Tesla.
$84,000.
It would have been, I think, 12 to buy the truck.
No, I wanted you to just be like, guys, we're not talking like you're so out of touch,
guys,
with the rest of the
I'm
world.
I'm not. Don't you, whenever people do that, like when Mitt Romney in the debate, like, what should we tell them? $10,000? Be like, we're not. Like, the world is not the same for a bet.
Right.
But it's not a lot. It was going to be $190,000, which I have,
of course,
in my wallet.
That's laying around money.
As you guys know, I make Rogan level podcast money.
We both do.
And Daniel is nice enough to not ask for a cut. And I think that's very, very proper.
Why? I only want what I deserve.
He only wants what he deserves. So I let Daniel have all the Patreon
all
money.
My fair share.
And I take $1 million a year. But I was going to do that. Not crazy expensive to do all of the conversion and everything. In a non-pandemic world, I might have done more research and tried to pull it off. In a pandemic world, I was like, I don't think it's going to happen. And also, it was all happening so fast.
How far away was the truck?
It would have been shipped.
Okay.
It was like middle of the country. I can't remember specifically where, but the website I had found, which I also don't remember now, is like had so many like choice cuts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You couldn't go wrong with it. Like for that style. Ended up not doing it. But I also have an affinity for those kinds of trucks. Now, when people soup them up in the Pimp My Ride kind of way,
right,
those kind of old school cars, that can be exciting, and I totally get why that's fun. For my preferences, it's a little too loud. I just kind of want
a time
the
travel.
Classic
I want
restoration.
Be in the car the way it was. The engine, fine. You want to make that electric? I don't care. But 100%. Like sitting in there, maybe there is like a screen thing you have to do because of the engine or whatever. But like,
yeah,
for the most part, I want to time travel when I'm sitting in an old car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You can put a new air conditioning system in it if you want. I get it. But
I would have made the whole thing an interior, which is great. But then also those trucks are two seaters essentially. So we couldn't really put Elliot in it.
Right.
You know?
Has she really?
So then I'm like,
40?
What do we have? Three cars?
Well, that was
we have three cars, and
where would you put it?
What?
The
just
truck.
On the street. On the street.
You
covered
that
in
would
a,
stress me out every night.
Covered in a bag. So no one knew.
Bag it.
I would drive it into a giant bag, and then I'd pull it tight, you know,
you'd with
the clincher. Yep. And then in the morning, I'd pull that clincher off and open it, and I'd reverse out of the bag.
Whatever works.
It's very...
Have you ever owned an older car?
I have owned...
Like a
classic car? Through my dad, you know, not that I owned it, sure. But I have driven some pieces of shit.
Really?
I also had a 1982 or 81 Buick LeSabre.
Ooh, big.
In high school.
Big car.
Here's a fun story. I maybe have told this. I don't know. I mean, a tank. This thing was a fucking boat of a car.
Yeah.
That you have to get good at driving. But yeah. I, you know, after enough time with a car that big, you're suddenly taking tight turns. It looks like you're just going to fucking sideswipe the whole front.
Those cars, too, you're like driving two couches. The front seat and the back seat are just full-on couches.
Absolutely they are. Mm-hmm. They absolutely are. I look back and I go, I wish I would have loved that car.
Yeah.
And I wish I had some money. I didn't. But I wish I loved that car and really was like, I'm going to get this thing cleaned all the time. I'm going to take care of it. I might do a paint job. I wish I would have done that stuff. Uh-huh. But I still to this day don't really care that much about cars.
Right.
But anyways, I go home. I'm at soccer practice. I stop at Rita's Italian Ice where my friend Jenny Sellers worked. I talk to her for a second. I had an Italian Ice hanging out. I get back in the car to go home. I'm one of those guys that right when the thing turns green, I watch for the yellow. Right when it turns green, I go.
Yeah.
You know, you're drag racing in your brain. I'm up against like a minivan or something. Anyways, car here, and I'm on the far side where I could take a legal right on red. So as soon as the light turns green, I just go, and I don't see. A car goes through the red light and hits the front of my car. Ooh. Smearing the front of my car all the way down their side goes all the way across, and it kind of tilts my car a little bit. I'd never been in an accident before, and I'm like kind of shook. They're completely sideways, and I open the car and I'm looking at them because I don't understand, you know, it's such a new experience and it is so shocking. And they take off, and a lady pulls up next to me and is just like, hey, I saw the whole thing. I'm going to speed up and get their tags. By the way, their two tires on the right side are completely deflated.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, I'm going to get their tags. So that person drove off, got the tags, came back with a piece of paper. Cop shows up and he's like, man, he's like, good thing you were driving this car. He's like, their car, he goes, I can see parts of their car all over the place. He's like, and your front left, you know, light is all fucked up, but...
Because you were a
tank. He's like, man, you are driving a solid frame tank.
All metal.
It was chunky, chunky, clunky metal. Much like this dude's truck. Like, you know, if you hit that truck won't even budge.
No.
But that's basically, they were drinking and driving. Cop went to their house. You can't get in trouble for drinking and driving.
Once you're home.
If you drove off, you can get in trouble for leaving the scene of an accident.
For sure.
But they can't go, you were drunk, because they go, no, I got home and I drank.
I was so upset, I just started drinking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they didn't even show up for court.
Shut up. This person that ran away from the scene of an accident also was unreliable for court?
Yeah. They didn't show up for court. And I had all of the pieces off of the road in my trunk. And I'll never forget one night I was driving after the basketball games. We'd all go to McDonald's and like figure out where we're going to go party, you know, Friday night basketball games.
Yeah.
I pull into McDonald's, cops swarm
my car. Oh, this part I think you told.
I've told this? Yeah. The cops swarm my car and they're like, a person was just in an accident with the same description. And I go, all the pieces are in my trunk. And the person goes over and looks like, yeah, this is pretty rusty. And how would he have all the pieces like, all right, if he left the scene of an accident?
That was your MO. You cause accidents and then you grab all the parts.
And clean them up and leave.
And then,
you can tell
them.
All the cops, which were so excited to, shoot me. I mean, I got out. They were like, get your hands out of your pockets. And I'm just like, I don't know what's happening. I didn't kill my wife. Yeah. It made me very popular when I walked in that McDonald's because all of my friends and everybody was like, what the fuck happened out there? Like they like hands on guns ready to like shoot you.
Greenville's bad boy showed up. That's what happened. Yeah.
Also, I was like such a scrawny little nothing that you could tell I wasn't hiding a gun on my person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't even have muscle.
Yeah. One of those kids that when they describe your weight, they use the word soaking wet.
Yes,
maybe
I was one notch above that.
Yeah,
but Yeah, that car was great. I had like a white one. I had a blue one. My dad had this tiny fucking Toyota Corolla, this brown. I got to try to find a video to show you because you would just be like, oh my God. It was like a go-kart. It was kind of fun to drive because mm-hmm. it was like a go-kart. Mm-hmm. But just shitty cars.
It's funny because the night before I got this letter, or I read our letter, I guess I should say, I was actually looking online for classic cars.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was like, the world. So my first car, which I might have told before, was a 72 Chevelle. Bought it in Appleton, Wisconsin for $1,200.
Did a spot at the Sky, whatever the fuck.
I can't remember what that is either. And I had it was for my senior year, and it was a four-door Chevy Malibu Chevelle 350 stock engine. Just a great car. And I absolutely love, and my dream has always been to own one of those again. And when I was in college, something needed to be fixed on it. And we didn't have the money, but Al King at Al King Automotive, and shout out to Al King and his
fuck
family.
Yeah, shout out to Al King. He sends us money and he donates.
He donates a lot. RIP. He had it sitting there at his lot, and he's like, yeah, just whenever you can get the money to fix it, I'll take care of it. And then it sat there, and it sat there, and I was a college kid, and my mom had all of her own stuff going on. And so finally he called me up, and he was like, I'll give you $400 for the car. And
wait, he called you to pay you?
Well, because he was like, I'll give you $400 for it. If, you know, you can either like get it fixed and then keep getting it fixed, but you're living in Chicago and you don't have, it's just going to sit here.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't have money to keep fixing this car. If I sell it, I'll always want it back. If I keep it, I'm just going to every day start hating it. And so I sold it, and then I'm sure he parted it out. It's gone. It's not one of those deals where I can go back and find the same car, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because those like Chevelles, those 350, like they didn't make a ton of four doors, and four doors are also pretty undesirable. Everybody wants a two door, even though I loved a four door, and that's what I would want again is a four door.
You've always just been a four door guy.
I am a four door guy. I like options. And so
it's a 350 Chevelle?
Yeah, Malibu. And so I won't be able to find it because I'm sure they would just use those for other parts because like...
Oh, I just found it.
Yeah. Because 74, they really started to change the Chevelle. You went from square lights to circular. This is what everybody wants to know. But anyway, I love that car. And I've found a couple. I even went and looked at one early in the pandemic. It didn't work out.
These are sweet looking cars.
I just love them. And so it's funny to get this.
You're right.
It just looks like a fun car. And it was a great car to drive. And it would take me back.
It's a hit on Grand Theft Auto. You know what I mean? You find that car.
Yeah, man. I guarantee you they don't even have the four-door in those. And then, CW, to answer your other question, can I think of anything I had to leave behind because I moved somewhere that I dearly miss? I mean, other than my kids, I would have to say, like, that pinball machine. But, I got that back during this pandemic.
Which is why this can happen. Which is why you can get this car back. My buddy... It's so funny you say this. This is a text. You know Zach Martina.
Yeah, I love Zach. I just talked. I know this story too. I just talked to Zach two days ago.
He just texted me this about this car. Isn't it great?
Isn't it great?
It's insane. To give everyone the shortest version of the story, Zach Martina, funny comic from Michigan, his dad in high school bought this like classic car obviously forever ago and like fixed it up and all these things and like had to sell it, I think. Right? For like to pay medical bills or something. And anyways, the car was like gone until Zach has now recovered the car.
Yeah, he found it.
From a guy. And Zach is like, when I get the money to buy this car, I'm going to come back and buy the car. And the guy goes, great. I'm not going to sell it until I sell it to you. And no, it's not going anywhere. It's going to sit right here. And when you've got the money, you walk in here and buy your dad's car back.
I get it. His dad bought that car when he was 16.
Yeah. Isn't that that's so crazy?
I know. But that's the stuff that's great. And I've always said, like, if I ever ran like a assisted living or a nursing home or
and you will retired living, that's your dream too. You will.
If I ever did, I would take I would do little field trips for the ones that I could, like, or have like an old timey car show like at the facility. Because for some people, like if they can go back and just sit in those cars again and those old steering wheels and the smell of those seats and stuff like that, it transports you.
I think that's a great idea. And it's almost strange that that's not a thing.
Maybe it is.
No, you thought of it, and you deserve that credit.
All right, I'll take it. Love looking at Addie Lou. We'll figure out who Big Cheeseburgers and Good French Fries is as soon as we figure out what our own playlist is. Happy to be your buds, your pennies, your pallers, and your pencil buds.
Yeah, I... God, leave behind.
Anything oh, yeah. Did you have behind. Anything?
Nothing. I never... I don't have a brain. I wasn't born with a brain. You know what I mean?
You were.
I don't know. I probably have 100 things, but whenever I try to think of them, I can't. Nothing comes to my. As soon as we finish this letter, I'll go, oh, now I remember.
Well, tell Shanley. You can put it on the Facebook. Yeah, Rory's thing was this, guys.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have.
But this is a great letter.
Agreed.
I love how simple it is, and that truck is fucking.
I like it without the topper.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
We'll put at least one of these up on social medias. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, CB. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk,
and Rory Van Scovel.
Hey. Do you miss traveling with your besties like in Girls Trip? Do you miss going to huge family gatherings like in Soul Food? Do you miss meeting the parents like in Get Out? Well, actually, no one misses that. But you can still do all of these things with me, Desmond Thorne, on my podcast, Adventures in Black Cinema. Each week, I take you on a journey through a new black film, how it relates to the culture, and sometimes how the themes relate to my own life, so there's always a little tea and a slight bit of embarrassment. And of course, as a filmmaker myself and one of the blackest, film nerdiest film nerds like ever, you're always in good hands. Adventures in Black Cinema with Desmond Thorne, executive produced by Amanda Seals. New episodes every Tuesday on all major podcast platforms.
When was the last time you did something just for you? Discover your summer essentials with FabFitFun, the best subscription box service delivering full-size self-care and wellness products delivered straight to your door. Their experts carefully pick from top trending products for you to personalize your own box of happiness. Just choose your plan and get ready for the best in home, fashion, beauty, wellness, and so much more. So whether it's the perfect beach blanket, a handy wine chiller, or aloe vera gel, FabFitFun has you covered for all of your fun in the sun needs. You'll get to choose some of the products to go in your box while the rest are a surprise. Plus, you can access other perks like flash sales and new items up to 70% off. FabFitFun is more than just an incredible value. It's me time in a box. All about the brands you love, the brands you will love, and doing something that's just for you. Visit FabFitFun.com for 50% off your first box while supplies last when you use code TALKSHOW. That's FabFitFun.com, code TALKSHOW.
And we're back.
In the saddle again.
Back in the saddle again.
I wonder how many pennies and pallers and pencil buds thought that, like, we were going to talk in those great dialects the whole show. Because we went pretty far.
Look, here is something. Because we did say, write us and say if you want the pencil buds to cover it. I don't know if that's the best way to go about
it. Oh, were we supposed to do that last letter talking like this?
There is a chance that we were supposed to.
We were supposed to do that.
This is a new idea. But I also am like, what do we know? When is what and what is where? You know, is where?
I love everybody who thought we would remember that.
I cherish them. I cherish those people.
You want to hit it?
Let's hit it. Dearest Daniel Van Cabin and Rory Maury Scory.
I mean, the order's right.
I've gotten that one. The order's wrong.
Feels good.
Van Cabin is interesting.
That's right.
But I get it because of your cabin, dude. Mm-hmm. But it's spelled with a K, just like that spot in NYC all those years ago. Did you ever do Cabin?
No.
Dude, Cabin was this shotgun-style tiny bar. You walk through this bar, and I mean, it's like PBR Central. That was, you know, maybe that's still the case. But back then, it was like dollar PBRs, and that's where you went. Back left, the tiniest room. I mean...
In the shotgun bar?
I don't think it's the size of that that playroom out there where the TV is. I don't think it's even that big.
Okay.
And it was just jam-packed with people. So when you went up and you had like some good jokes, people were like on, like the energy was unstoppable. It was one of Sean Patton. It was one of the most amazing fucking, one of the most amazing shows. Chesley and Sean Patton. What's that?
Oh, I was just saying, I didn't know it was his show.
It was his show. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was incredible. Cabin with a K. Gone now. That place is gone. Has been for a while, but it's just an unreal. So fun. Here we go.
Yep.
Dear Daniel Van Cabin, Rory Moriscuri, I am writing today to ask for your perspective on a matter of head versus heart. Fair warning, this letter will get pretty dark at times, but I have faith that you can pull the nose up and eventually and land somewhere positive. Here we go. There's a man that is currently awaiting execution in California for heinous crimes that he absolutely, without a doubt, 100% committed. We are talking true evil, capital M monster. I tell you that to save you from thinking that he could have been falsely convicted. I am also being vague because these crimes don't deserve any more attention. I feel, as a logical and productive member of society, that no one should be put to death. The death penalty is used disproportionately against the poor, minorities, and those with mental illnesses. I tell you all that to tell you this. My lovely wife of 12 years had a best friend growing up. This friend was killed by this same capital M monster. Mm. It is something my wife carries with her every day. I have only experienced a fraction of a percent of the grief that this man has inflicted on the world. I feel in the deepest part of my heart that the world would be a better place without this man in it. That is the issue at hand. Two diametrically opposing opinions living within the same person. What I know in my head versus what I feel in my heart. I have come to terms with this contradiction and have accepted that I don't need to argue with myself any longer. Gray areas seem to get larger as you get older. I am sure there is a lighter example of this phenomena. If anyone can find it, you can. So I ask you, do you hold any equal but opposite opinions? Is it wrong to give myself a break for this contradiction? I hope I didn't bring the pod to a grinding halt. Thanks for the incredible podcast. Your pen pal, Jesse, he, him.
Woo! Mm-hmm.
This is a deep one. This is one of those bigger topics.
Crazy is I first think of the Golden State Killer, and then the sad thing is
too.
There's probably so many monsters.
So many monsters.
That you're like, nope, truly, a different one.
There are truly so many monsters. Right. I recently read about one in the news who has now passed, and it was absolutely horrific.
Really?
Shock you to your soul what some people are capable of, mm-hmm. and you truly wonder where that comes from in their genetic makeup.
Yeah.
What some people are capable of doing.
Mm-hmm. Like how removed they are from compassion.
How removed from compassion and sympathy and empathy and just
right
capable
and
of horrific. What's that?
I said, or like right or wrong, but then for them, there isn't a right or wrong. There's just wrong and wrong. Like they don't even,
they don't even interpret it as wrong.
Right.
They're like, yeah, this is what
I want to do. Did you watch the Night Stalker documentary on Netflix?
No.
It's very well done. And it doesn't really. It's more about the hunt for him than like sensationalizing him. And they don't even give you a lot of like, here's how he got this way, which I was like, yeah, okay, good. Cause I don't really fucking care. Like,
yeah.
I just cared that he got stopped.
Right. Yeah.
It's wild.
It's wild. Crazy.
Yeah.
Serial killers are.
Now, don't they say at any given time there's like 8 active serial killers in the United States? That number could be way low or too high.
I don't know.
Which is kind of why I went for it.
340 million people in the United States?
Yeah, there's got to be way more than 8. Maybe 60. Maybe the number is 60.
Who knows? I mean, it's a number. Who even knows?
And the crazy thing
who
is
even
in our society, if you kill the quote-unquote like less desirable people, not my opinion, I'm saying the society's viewpoint, you can do it for so much longer before anybody even gives a fuck or ties it
exactly.
together. Or like,
exactly.
Right.
I'm going to, I got to say, this contradiction is great. First off, is it wrong to give myself a break for this contradiction? I don't think so at all.
What do you mean?
Well, when he's talking about like in my head, I have a belief that the death penalty is outright wrong, no matter what.
Right.
But in my heart, I think this guy should be dead. And he's just saying, is it wrong to give myself a break, you know, because of that contradiction? I don't think that's wrong at all.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's, I see what you're saying.
Because you know, the reality is you have no authority over what this is. So whatever your natural feeling is...
That's your natural feeling.
That's just your natural feeling. We cannot control the way we feel. It's not like you're necessarily acting on it. We only control the way we act.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, you're not, you know, why naturally, why fight this natural thing that honestly has, truly has no consequence to something bigger? And, you know, unless you're sitting there constantly obsessing over it, you know, then it's maybe manifesting into something bigger. Maybe that comes from something else. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But before we go to, do you hold any equal but opposite opinions? Let's just say, you know, I am someone that it's difficult because we all know as a fact the death penalty is often
misused.
It's used in so many wrongful situations. Mm-hmm. It's so many people that they do it and then they're like, why didn't we told you there's a new DNA evidence? Why didn't you allow that evidence? I always find that all to be so fucking insane and maddening that someone's like, there's new DNA evidence. And they go, well, we're already killing him. It's like, but there is new evidence. Yeah, but a whole trial in a court. Like, yeah, but you are talking about someone's life who's potentially innocent. Does it not matter to get it right?
Right.
To try to get this right. I can't sit here. I sit here as someone and I say, I also believe the death penalty is wrong. And I sit here as someone who also goes, I think some people should die. And I mean that. Mm-hmm. There are, I mean that there are absolute monsters. There are absolute,
and that's how you feel.
Bad people. And I can't change that.
You're not going to go there kill was them, which would be an action.
If there was something that was going to happen to my family at the hands of someone and I had the opportunity to kill them, I would kill them.
Well, of course.
And I would not think
twice about
it. But then
that's their life. For the yours or the one you care about,
yes.
This is a now, if, tougher thing yes. because you're not trade. You're just taking them out,
right? Now, if I yes, and if I'm in the position of saying, you know, hey, the best friend in this situation who fell victim to this monster, you know, if I'm her brother, I would go, yeah, let's kill him. Let's kill that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to be dead. Mm-hmm. I would not sit here. And I can't tell you if this is a right or wrong feeling. I would not sit here going, I forgive him and I'm okay with it and I don't think he should die. And I could also give you an argument where I go, it's far worse for him to just remain in prison and suffer that.
Right.
You know, that's also a form of suffering. I couldn't tell you because I've never been so directly involved with it. All I can tell you is it does seem like a lot of the death penalties are, it's like false. It's false information.
Oh, yeah, dude. When
and somebody a lot gets of times sent you're to executing people that shouldn't be executed.
Well, dude,
and if, you know,
when somebody gets sentenced to the death penalty because someone saw them leaving that house or someone saw them driving that car.
Exactly.
And then you end up finding out, oh, it just wasn't them. They just saw somebody who looked like them. Or that person
later.
Just totally made it up because DNA proves that they weren't even there.
Yes.
But so you literally sentenced someone to death because someone else says they saw them there, not committing the crime, not doing.
And we
sometimes
all know
even committing the crime, they saw somebody else, but they say, "Oh, it was this guy," when it was actually this guy. Like,
yes,
yeah, I know.
And we all know historically the amount of minorities that have fallen victim to that. Someone going, "Oh, yeah, that guy did do it," and it didn't matter this person's credibility. All that mattered was like, "Oh, okay, the guy who's not white. Okay, yeah, then you're probably telling him the truth, and he's probably lying."
But in this case, they know 100% that this person did these deeds.
Yeah. So as someone who sits here and you know, I always want to be careful on our show to not sound like, you know, Daniel and I are always given the comfortable space of choosing if we want to sound righteous and heroic in these type of scenarios.
Right.
We are given that space. We've read this letter and I could just now tell you, go, yeah, well whatever the masses think is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I pride us on being the show. A show that doesn't do that.
Right.
Daniel and I don't mind if what we tell you is not the popular thing and it's wrong.
Because
we have so many people write us letters that tell us why the thing we said was wrong sometimes, and it's the best. Because then you read that and you go, oh, you know what? That's okay, cool. Yeah, that's a perspective. Yes. And I grow and I change because of it. So, I wish I could sit here and go, you know, I'm one of those people that could give you all the facts and the things of as to why the death penalty shouldn't exist. And I'm sure there's many outside of just saying that, you know, there's so many wrongful convictions. But given what's specifically in this letter, like, I would sit here and go, yeah, I think that guy should die. I think like, the world doesn't need that guy. And even as I say it, I'm such a non-murderer, it makes me feel bad to say that about someone who killed people and ruined lives.
Dude, two questions for you. Have you seen the Black Mirror episode? I think it's called White Bear.
White Christmas. No. John Hamm?
No.
Oh, there is one called White Christmas with really? John Hamm. Wait, have you not seen that Black Mirror?
I have, but I didn't remember that. That's what it is.
Oh my God.
We just do that. We just talk about other Black Mirror episodes for the rest. With those robot dogs. With those robot dogs.
Never. Never kill myself. I kill myself right away.
sign me up for the death penalty. No, there's the one, I think it's called White Bear, where
yes,
the woman wakes up and thinks that her daughter has been taken from
over
her.
Over and over and
yes,
over.
Yes, that is the perfect, to me, that is a, and some people would say that that's cruel and unusual punishment. That some people would say that's even worse than the death penalty. I would say, well, they aren't dead, and we definitely know this person did it. So yeah, they are paying a price and having to experience the spoiler alert, right now, of having done this to someone else, and now it's happening to them, and they don't understand
and
why.
People are, and people pay to like, watch
like a
it.
Theme park, which is a whole. That's how Black Mirror is great, because then you're like, so you, Daniel Van Kirk, you just said you're for this sort of thing, so you want to go watch it? Well, no, I don't want to see it. Oh, so you want it to happen? You just don't want to have to.
You
experience
want the safety
it.
Of not having to see it,
right? Yeah. So you really don't want it then, right? Because if you were faced with it, you would say this is too much to do and it's gross. But you voted for that grossness, so that's why Black Mirror is great. But like. It does feel like a very just punishment to me. I don't even know that you need the spectatorship of it. That's why Black Mirror is great. But if you just knew, like, oh no, they're just caught in a remorse loop that they don't even understand.
Right.
So I love that. I just think like you, if someone told me, hey, my mom, my dad, my whatever was killed, and my personal feeling is this, they should die for it. I could argue the place of like death in society, like sanctioned death, but I don't know that I could tell that person that they're wrong for the way they feel. Like,
yeah,
I don't like, it's not, I don't know. Some part of me says leave it up to the victims, right? But then over time, the victims could then say, I wish I wouldn't have done that. This is a story I'm going to tell you. I don't know if it's a one-to-one comparison, but I think it speaks to the gravity of like what it feels like to take a life. And I am almost certain that there's people who advocated for their the murderer that ruined their life or took away their loved one to be killed. And then after that person was killed, they found that that didn't fill the hole at
you
all.
You hear that a lot.
Give
you
them
hear a lot that
the satisfaction
didn't...
they hoped. Yeah. So there's a story. This is a true story and it's a little sad, but I think people need to think about this. There's a guy in Houston owned a bar. He saw via his like cell phone camera in the middle of the night that someone had broken in to his bar, was stealing liquor and cash. And so he went down there and he took his gun and he ended up shooting the robber and he killed him. 3 months later, that bar owner took his own life because he couldn't live with what he'd done. Now, I understand that that's not the death penalty and it isn't a one-to-one comparison, but I'm sure, I guess I shouldn't say I'm sure, like, and I love what you just said about us. We know we're not perfect and we ask for the grace to like accept that we're not perfect, but we're always willing to listen and learn and be educated. But I strongly feel like it probably ate him up, and I'm not trying to even minimize whatever did or didn't eat him up, but I would believe it probably really bothered him and hurt him that over the course of or over the over because of like liquor or cash, he like went down there and shot somebody. Like he could have just not. Like who fucking, you have insurance? It's, you know, and I think that like when it comes, I guess what I'm trying to say is when it comes down to it being you,
yeah,
you can never go back on death. And if you say, well, you killed my mom and I want you to die, I am telling you as Daniel Van Kirk, I couldn't argue with the way that you feel. But I think for some people that person gets put to death or the death that felt right in the moment happens. And later on, they're like, that wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
That didn't like make it better. And maybe I'm so fucked up because I'm also telling you what would make it better for me was if I knew if that person was kind of being mind tortured for the rest of their
No,
life.
But I understand. And also, by the way, White Christmas is like falls into the same.
Oh, okay.
It's same thematically.
I know I've seen them all. I just don't remember. I've seen all the Black Mirror, dude.
It haunts me. It haunts me. You're so insecure about if you've seen them all.
I've seen
not.
Them all.
I haven't, and I say that so embarrassed that I haven't. But yeah, you make a good point because also, and this sounds dark too, but you know, when they're gone, you're like, well, now they are relieved of this.
Yeah,
you know, and there's some people that go, well, no, he's in hell, and I don't.
You better hope.
That. Like, I don't believe that. I don't believe. Right. I don't believe that he's in hell. I don't believe that hell is what you're taught that it is. It's just a word that has been defined as a place that is, it's really just sort of a way to describe a situation more than it is some actual place. And the same with heaven. Do I believe that something happens when we die? There's a big part of me that thinks there's greater meaning to whatever this experience is. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but my instincts steer me in that direction. But I don't believe that sort of judgment.
I don't think
you face a judgment.
Okay. Yeah.
So for the people that go, well, I'm glad that there's so and so is dead now because now they have to face God. I don't believe that. I don't believe that they are facing God, and I don't believe that they're getting sent to a place where they're on fire forever and it's all torture. I don't believe that.
What if they
just in that specific,
God?
I don't find like some remorse in that. Like, I feel better because I know that he's in hell. I mean, you could also look at it and go, well, it's hard to feel better because really he's now just escaped from having to constantly face this.
Also,
speaking to
going by this religion, if he like truly in his heart repented before he was put to death, wouldn't he be in heaven?
There is a chance.
That like
he really repented.
Right. And then you get up to heaven and you're like, are you fucking kidding me? And God's like, whoa,
that guy's here.
He repented. He repented.
And also you just cursed. So you actually have to go to hell.
Jesus.
For cursing.
You for real? Yes, I am for real.
Yes, we are very for real. If you repent, but you cursed after you died. And what I'm saying is there's no time to repent now.
You cursed on the way
up. You can't repent. Now you can't repent.
Right. But it's like, and now here's the thing too, right? Even when I just now was talking about murder and stuff, I was talking about like, in my mind, maybe I wasn't talking about, but I was like, oh, they shot somebody. They killed somebody. There's somebody listening to this who could go, okay, I'm going to tell you what this person did to these kids. I'm going to tell you what this person did to this family. And you tell me they don't deserve to die. And I'm going to go, I get that you feel they deserve to die. And I don't know the situation. We might not even have this conversation because before you finish that sentence, I might have already said, well, that fucker deserves to die.
Right.
But I don't know that just because I think that even makes it the right call.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I'm not.
Yeah.
I feel like in our society, right? It's like, are you this or are you that? What if there's just some things where you go, fuck, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's times where I'm like, kill him. And then there's times where I was like, I don't, that's forever. If you do that, I don't know that's going to make anybody feel better. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because if you told me,
I mean, we all know, and also if you're listening, it's not like we're sitting here going, no, they should be let out of prison. We're not saying that.
If you haven't seen White Bear, if the you know proof what I'm is advocating.
Like beyond the benefit, like you beyond a doubt, like
right,
there's no doubt, there's zero doubt this person has done it, then
dude, there's a part of, I'm really
yeah, I
a,
guess
this is gross, but like I'm pretty cool with how things went for Jeffrey Dahmer.
What happened to him? He got beat up in prison.
No death penalty, right? No yeah. death penalty. Fuck, do you know that? Like, we're not going to go down the whole thing, but like one of his guys he killed, like a young boy, I think, like
yeah,
escaped, pleaded for help. Jeffrey Dahmer caught up, convinced them that he was just a gay, like being weird kid. They let him go back something. With Jeffrey Dahmer because people were like, we don't care. And so,
And died. He was killed.
Yes. Yeah. So Dahmer gets put in prison. It was in like central Wisconsin. And then one day, wow, just a wink, wink mess up, he gets left in the bathroom with some other very bad people and beaten to death with a broomstick. And like,
yeah.
And I'm sure other things as well. But it's yeah. there's a part of me that's like, that felt earned, you know?
Right.
And I just keep going back to each week when I hear myself talk of how much I love what you said, because it's like, yeah, there's a way that you and I can play the woke game and try to like please one side or the other, or be what we think should be said, but I can't. I don't. It's
yeah,
head versus heart.
I don't
maybe.
Think
like
I don't think we ever. I know that we get some things wrong on this show
for sure.
I don't think we ever learn anything if you pretend to already know something that you don't truly know. Do you know what I mean? But right. if you really, and I'm trying to get better at this. I keep trying to be better at. Being a person who goes, well, no, I'm sorry. I do have questions.
Oh, Rory.
You know, some people go, do you know what I'm talking about? And I'm always like, oh, I do.
Rory,
and I know that I don't.
25 years old. I was working for my Uncle Mike, middle market mergers and acquisitions, right? So they're like assessing companies.
That is a verbal word challenge that comes up in certain game shows.
Yeah. Middle market.
Can you just repeat what?
Middle market mergers and acquisitions. So you're doing like TNA, which is like
middle market mergers,
like due diligence. It's like accountant. It's all, and I'm in this trying
middle
to,
market picked a Miggle mergers.
Peter Piper picked. So I'm doing M&A, right? I have no idea how mergers and acquisitions work. The thing I knew the most is it was kind of what Richard Gere did in Pretty Woman, right? So that
good starting point.
Yes, it's my
you're
way
to meet someone.
And I remember being in a meeting and I was so trying to like sit with my fist under my chin and like, I know what's going on here. Right. And this older statesman guy who was there, his name was like Jim Wallner or something like that from San Diego. He like doesn't say very much. We get all the way down. He's like, hold on, what is that? And this is the guy like everybody thinks knows everything. But he was like, what's that? No, what, when you said that, what does that mean? What is that? And I felt like, whoa, what a badass. And so I've kind of always since then never been afraid to be the person like you're saying who goes, hold on. I don't know what that means. Because people think that makes you have low status when really, in my opinion, you have the highest status. You're bringing everything into a halt so that they can tell you what that means.
Yeah.
You're not dumb. You're actually smart because you want to know.
Yes.
The dumb people are just like, uh-huh, sure. Like... Now, if you do know,
I try to get so much better at it.
Oh, me too.
And you get better and you get smarter by just saying like, yeah, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Or I don't know what we're saying. Or I've gotten better at just saying like, I don't know what that word means.
Me too.
I don't know what word you just said. And I have a decent education and I talk for a living. And I also have to listen to other people talk a lot. Sometimes hours at a time by themselves.
Right.
And I mean, I've never heard that word.
I had it happen in the Goodnight Show where I would read long things, right? And I would say it wrong. And Noah or somebody would be like, that's actually this. And the younger, I'm still pretty immature, but immature part of me wanted to like feel bad. But then
fight.
I would just.
You wanted to fight Noah.
Yeah. And I would just go, oh, well, you don't know how to read a word you've never seen before. Like, that's just it. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah. It's true.
That's it.
Or that you've ever seen written out.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
There's so many vowels that we don't need, honestly. Get rid of half the vowels. If I'm elected, we're going to get rid of half the vowels.
Rory, I don't mind admitting to you that I was in college doing a scene with this guy named Nick. I had rehearsed and rehearsed the scene. I had all my lines down. We're in Ted Hurl's class.
Paul
the Clown Lopez, my college roommate, sitting right there. Everybody else, J.S. Subramanian, Ben Carr, everybody's all in the class. And I stand up there and I go, "Well, I thought things would be different when I got back from the Marine Corps."
Oh, yeah, you did. I know this. You've said this. And it's classic.
I didn't know.
I was kind of hoping that's what was going to happen. The Marine Corps is so great.
I just had never seen they were like, written
Daniel,
before.
Quit being a dick. And you're like,
yeah, because that's what we
and
get
everyone
that sometimes.
Laughed and you're like, yeah, go with it.
Dude, we get that sometimes because when you fuck around with everything and you mess up, people think you're fucking around.
And exactly.
That's been my benefit more than once. Oh, yeah, dude.
You read the vibe. You go, yeah, that's right.
Did you say honest?
Yeah. What do you? Why do you? How do you say it? Oh, okay. And in your head, you're like, fuck. But great letter.
Agreed.
Great letter. I love it when it gets a little deep and we get a little uncomfortable and vulnerable. But honestly, I'll tell you what. I don't know what to feel about the overall death penalty. I'd probably say, yeah, we don't. It's not right. And we should get rid of it.
Where
but then you tell me about Capital M Monster here, and I'm like, kill that dude.
I
can't. That's just my natural instinct.
Yep.
Can't fight it. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying I'm wrong. But I am telling you that I am now your pen pal. You grabbed a pen and you wrote us a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And you've sealed the deal. So go ahead and put that in your heart. You got me? You got that? Huh, Jesse? We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Rory Scovel.
And Daniel Van Kirk.
Wasn't so long ago.
A podcast network.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.